Welcome to the Buff Daddy-O podcast. Now, gentlemen, that whole having kids thing seemed like a great idea, right? And I'm sure you love them and all that, but look what those pesky kids have done to your body. You think they're going to fix that for you? Nope. They're too busy bleeding you dry and sticking Lego up their nose. But fortunately, the Buff Daddy-O podcast exists. It's all about finding a dad-friendly way to fix the mess your crazy family life has done to your body. And here's your host, Chris. He sounds like Liam Neeson with a head cold.
This is episode 10, How to Keep On Going When Life Tries to Get in the Way, an interview with Bruce Van Horn. Hello, hello, hello. I'm glad you're all loving the interviews that I've been doing over the past few episodes with real dads managing to get in shape. I really appreciate all the feedback that you've been sending me through Facebook and Twitter and by email. I have another great interview today, which I'm going to get to in a second, an interview with a man called Bruce Van Horn. But now I've been doing this podcast for a wee while, I'm starting to get all sorts of emails from random places trying to sell fitness products to my listeners for commission and things like that, which I really don't want to do, because I'm more about you just managing to use whatever equipment you have access to, whether that's nothing and you're working out at home, or whether that's you're joining a basic gym or whatever. It doesn't feel right for me to start trying to sell stuff that I don't really believe in. But I was in touch with audible.com, you know, the audiobook people. They have a free trial offer for you, and I thought this might be good because you already consume stuff through your ears like podcasts, so maybe you'd like a free audiobook from them too. I mean, there's no strings attached. If you like audiobooks and you'd like a free one, if you go to buffdaddy.com/book, you can have a look through Audible's bajillion titles. I don't know how many they have. See if there's maybe a fitness one or a nutrition book, or even maybe if you're into fiction or something like that. Now, I don't think they do porn, I'm afraid, and I don't really know if a porn audiobook would be that good to listen to in the car, maybe with your kids. But anyway, there's lots of audiobooks there. You do have to put in credit card details, but you don't get charged anything as long as you cancel everything before the 30 days are up. So if you log on, see a book you like, download it, and then just remember to cancel everything before the 30 days are up, then it costs you nothing, it costs me nothing. In fact, I make a couple of bucks out of it, which helps to pay for production and hosting of the podcasts. But yeah, it's win-win for both of us anyway. You get something free and I get some free money too. Hurrah! Anyway, check out buffdaddy.com/book if you'd like a free audiobook. Now, today's interview is with Bruce Van Horn, a man that I got to know actually through Twitter, which is a weird way of meeting people, but I suppose that's modern technology for you. Anyway, Bruce is a business coach and a writer, and also runs his own software business, and he's a father of two boys, and he's been through and continues to go through a hell of a lot in his life, as you'll hear, but manages to still stay positive, keep things in perspective, and focus on what's important in his life. This, for me, was a very powerful interview, actually. It's not so much about the specifics of sticking to a diet and sticking to a training plan. It's more about having goals in your life, not letting things get in your way, and the importance of family. So I really hope you get as much out of this interview with Bruce Van Horn as I did, and I'll speak to you when the interview's done. So I'm going to be talking to Bruce Van Horn today. Bruce, I got to know Bruce through Twitter, actually. He has some great content there about how to just stay on track and stay motivated in whatever you want to achieve. And then I found out that Bruce is a dad, and I thought, hurrah, a bit of a skip in my step, and I got in touch with him and reached out, and he kindly has agreed today just to give me a quick insight into how he stays in shape and how he juggles fitness and family life. So, Bruce, I'm glad to have you on the interview today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners today.
Great. So I know you're a dad of two boys, and in terms of your day job, you're an entrepreneur, business coach and writer, but you also like to do a bit of running.
Indeed.
in your spare time to stay in shape. Can you just quickly give us a bit of an insight into what your what your day job is, and then just an insight into your family life too.
Sure. My day job is always interesting. Every day is different. As you mentioned, I am an entrepreneur. I started with a business partner 12 years ago, a software development company, and we develop software for retail stores. Retail point of sale systems is the market space that we're in. And we specialize on reaching very small merchants. So our average merchant only has one location. Our largest has seven. And so it's an industry within the software space that's largely ignored by most retail point of sale system developers. Okay. So that's where we work. And I'm actually, I do manage the business with my partner. I still do a fair amount of software coding myself, but I'm really phasing out of that in my later years and letting the younger guys on our team take that ball and run with it. As I'm shifting more into what I'm really passionate about and really feel called to do, and that really is, as you mentioned on, you follow me on Twitter, but I from the time I was in high school, I always wanted to be a writer, and went to college and studied creative writing, and did very well in that. And then when I got out of college, funny thing happened. I needed money, so I got a job, and I got a job that was very good. I couldn't turn it down, but that sort of left the creative side of me, put in the closet for a number of years. So I'm just sort of getting back into that and my passion. So I am doing a lot of writing. I am doing a lot of life coaching, and I do some business coaching. And I do a fair amount of running, although I have not been running recently. And we can talk about that as well. But on the family side, I am a single dad of two boys. My boys are 17 and 11.
Okay. And
they're just amazing young men who have rolled with all of the struggles that we've had in our home. My wife suffers from severe schizophrenia, and, mm-hmm. and has most of her adult life. And as she's gotten older, it's gotten worse. And she can't live with us anymore because of her illness. And so that's a lot of stress. Okay. But my boys are doing great, and we're managing. And life is good.
So how are you managing with having a teenager? Have you made that? My boys are only 6 and 8, so I have all of this ahead of me.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And it is just so funny to have a teenager. So some people really struggle with the teen years, and I've just been blessed to have very much enjoyed every single phase of being a dad and every single phase of parenting. Teenagers are tough. I would say that 17 is a lot easier than 14 and 15 was. Mm-hmm. But it's just so funny to hear this voice that sounds very much like my own. He's about an inch taller than I am now. Mm-hmm. And he comes in and he says the most ridiculous things, and what I immediately flash back to, and I just smile at him, and because what I do is I flash back to walking into the kitchen and saying almost the identical ridiculous thing to my father when I was 17. It's like looking at a ghost. So he has adopted, political and philosophical worldviews that are completely opposite to what mine are and what he was raised in. And I remember going through the very same phase. And so he's testing, he's trying to figure out where he fits in the world. And it's a fun process. It is not without challenges, but it's a fun process.
I have it all ahead of me.
Yeah, you do. So, just roll with it.
Well, you mentioned there that you're into running. Maybe you haven't had much of a chance recently to do anything. But I noticed on your website that you have the book "You Can Go the Distance."
Yes.
That you wrote about marathons, and there's a show notes page for each episode. So I'll make sure to put a link to that for anyone that wants to check it out. But How did you get to the point from where you started running to actually doing marathons?
Okay. I ran cross country in high school and did a little bit of running in college, but really got out of it by that time. And then I did not run at all for the better part of 20, 25 years. And so I was 40 years old. I was overweight, out of shape, and was really struggling to keep up with my 11-year-old was just kind of a newborn then. And my oldest was six. And, you know, six-year-olds, as you know, are really, really active. And I was struggling to keep up with them. My older brother had continued to keep running through his adult years, and while he wasn't ever really fast or great, he really just enjoyed it, and he came into our town to run our local marathon, and I took my boys down to watch him run, and he said, "Bruce, you really need to start running again. You can do this. You can run a marathon." And I just laughed at him and I said, "You're crazy. I don't even like to drive 26 miles, you know." But he said, "But you know what? If you start, you'll find that it's a lot easier than you think it is." And I got up to the challenge. So I started at least, you know, I decided that I had to do something because I was out of shape, overweight, and knew that that just was not going to be good for me, along with all the stress that I had in my life. And so I started jogging, and my goodness, it took me probably 3 weeks from the time I started to the point where I could, now we're talking jog, you know, we're not talking running, we're talking about jogging really slow, to the point where I could jog 1 mile without stopping. You know, so the first time out, it was running a couple hundred yards and then stopping and panting. But it took me about 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, I really questioned whether or not I'd ever be able to do this again. But once I hit that 1 mile mark, I felt great. And in less than a week, I was running 2 miles. And I would say within, you know, the next 2 weeks, I was up to 3 miles. I ran in a local 5K. And just really got the running bug and just kept adding to my distances and ran a 10K, and that was great. And then I never did actually run a half marathon. I went all the way to the full marathon, and I started,
oh wow,
and I started running. And so I actually ran my first marathon in just under a year from the time I started running. Wow. And you know, I was actually pretty happy about it because I beat my brother, who came back up to run with,
oh, really?
With me. And I beat him rather.
How did he take that?
Oh, he took it actually really well. You know, we've always been great. I've always been just a smidge more competitive than he is, but we had a lot of fun. And so I started taking marathon running really quite seriously, and then sort of got the what I learned a lot about myself during running, and it was actually at that point where I really started to make some attitudinal changes in my life and being much more intentional about having a plan for my life, just like having a plan for exercising and executing that plan instead of just getting up every morning and just wondering, well, what am I going to do today? You know, I know I've got to go to work, I've got to do this, but never really having any long-range goals to achieve. And marathon training really taught me that. And that if I set my mind to do something that I really can achieve, I was not happy with my life at the time and really decided thinking about, well, you know, in addition to running, what do I really want my life to look like in 5 years? And started working towards those things. So I started writing about those things. And then for one of my marathon training sessions, I decided that I would blog through my entire 18-week training process. And I started doing that, and the blog became very popular, at least by my standards. I actually got some really famous people in the running community agreeing with what I said, you know, and I have no degree or anything in running, you know, but guys like Bart Yasso, who is, you know, a works for Runner's World magazine and was an Olympic marathon coach at one point, started following my blog and commenting.
Cool.
And I started writing about one of his exercise routines called Yasso 800s. And then when it was all said and done, I moved on to whatever was next. And it was actually through guys like Bart and some other people who said, Bruce, you really need to, because you're writing about running from a very non-technical point of view. I was really talking about it from the mindset and this whole idea of that once you decide, the hardest part about running a marathon or doing anything, especially related to fitness, the hardest day is the day you decide to do it. Mm-hmm. And then once you decide to do it, then and you actually start doing it, then momentum sort of carries you through it. And if you go about it in a smart way and you don't kill yourself the first day out. So I took my marathon blog, I rewrote a bunch of it, and I turned it into this book called You Can Go the Distance, a marathon training guide. It's been much more successful than I ever imagined that it would be.
So it's interesting that you say about the hardest thing is just getting started, because I think you're right what you said earlier about a lot of people just kind of sleepwalk through their life, and years go by because there's all stuff to do. You always have to get up, get breakfast, go to work, come home, take care of the kids. Unless you take the time to have some sort of other plan in place, like what else do I want to do other than just sort of get through life, then you're not going to be able to get started, whether you want to run a marathon or start doing weight training or whatever. It's just a case of committing to, I'm going to start. I find people want to almost over research things too.
They
want to make sure that they have the perfect plan in place before
and
they even strap on the purse.
I can't go out running because I don't have a decent pair of running shorts, just go.
And I was speaking on an interview last week, actually, an interview, the guy who has it's dashingdad.com. His name's Brian. He's a stay-at-home dad, and he's a runner too. And he started I think it's the Couch to 5K or something.
Okay.
I think it's an app.
Right.
But basically, the same idea as what you said. It's just building very slowly, even if you can't do a mile. Once you start, just building up very,
just start
very
walking.
Slowly.
Getting
your body.
Get off the couch. Yeah. I mean, someone did a study a couple years ago, at least in America, I don't know what it's like over where you are, but at least in America, the average adult watches 40 hours of television a week, and if you just figured out how much time you just spend sitting on your couch or doing something that's just silly or just entertaining or a waste of time, and you look back through the years, you've spent years of your life just sitting around doing nothing, and you can make little changes like that. Take an hour off of the couch.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. I think because a lot of people will say, look, I just don't have the time for fitness. And I think that's often because what they see, a lot of workout plans or maybe running plans, they feel they have to devote 6 or 10 hours a week to getting in shape. And that's not the case. Even if you just get moving for an hour a week or 2 hours a week, then you're going to build on that, so it's people seem to think it's a much bigger hurdle than it really is.
Exactly. And I found the same thing in the plan that worked best for me. And it's the plan that I write about in my book. I only run 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're very specific workouts, and I do some cross training, push-ups, sit-ups, go to the gym, swim in the pool, but actual running only 3 days a week. And you can really build for, at least for me, I need the recovery time in between the runs.
When it comes to the dietary side of things, do you follow any kind of specific way of eating, or are you just fairly sensible?
I just stay sensible. Once you start running, your body, my body started telling me, you just don't need that big greasy burger and you don't need all those fat foods. And so I never set out to lose weight. I really just wanted to get in shape and figured the dropping the weight. So I've never been a big dieter. But in the process of running, my body started to tell me, you're going to feel lousy running tomorrow morning if you eat this. Mm-hmm. And so just starting to not eat as much, And starting to change that. Now, my diet has radically changed recently because I have cancer. And, okay. You know, and so I'm changing my diet for that purposes and finding that I'm very much enjoying the different diet. But, mm-hmm. yeah, so no, I never set out to be a dieter.
That's interesting that you said that once you started running, your diet almost automatically changed too, because I find myself, I'm either all or nothing type of person. Sure. If there's periods of my life where I'm not doing any training, I also find that my diet slips too. It's like almost that I'm not in a frame of mind of looking after myself. But then once I do start training again, it's almost immediate that my eat well button gets switched on again.
Yeah, you start to develop this total mind-body wellness thing without even planning to do so. Your body talks to you, and so you start thinking about your life differently, and that includes what you eat.
I want to talk just a bit about your blog.
Okay.
I noticed on your blog you have this great reading list, which again I'll link to on the show notes. Just a lot of sort of motivational books, but I mean they're not kind of wishy-washy guru ones, if you know what I mean. They seem to be quite accessible, realistic books too. If we think maybe of dads who maybe feel stuck, like we said, they don't feel they have time, they're lacking energy to look after themselves, and even though the situation's going to get worse as they get older, they still feel so overwhelmed that they can't get started. Are there any kind of books that you would recommend, and not necessarily the names of specific books, but are there any resources that you can think of on your site or elsewhere that dads could look to help them get over that initial hump?
From purely like an exercise point of view, or are you just talking about
more of a mindset type? Life just a mindset.
Yeah, and if you look at my reading list on my website, and your readers can find that link to it. I'm a voracious reader, and I do have to confess that I don't actually sit down with book in hand and read most of these books. This is another thing my 17-year-old loves to point out. When I say that I just finished reading such and such a book, he says, "Dad, you didn't read it. You listened to it." I'm a voracious audiobook listener. Now I do the unabridged, you know, so it is the full book, and I say, you know what? Okay, it's semantics. I have consumed the material. It all just came to my brain through my ears instead of my eyes in most cases. So yeah, I go through a couple books a week, or at least a couple books a month. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of books. You know, I love fiction. I think that everybody needs, and I'm actually reading this book right now, literally reading it to my 11-year-old, but The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho is a great novel. And it really is a book about pursuing your dreams and how you can get sidetracked in pursuing your dreams and then never pursue it. And then how your dream fades away. He calls it your personal legend. What is it that you were born to achieve? And we start off on that. You know, and then we do things like we get a job and we start making money and we forget what it is that we were really passionate about. So this book, Paulo Coelho, is a wonderful, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho is great.
Okay.
You know, just other mindset books, a classic is, I think everybody required reading has to read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it's a hard book. It's a book about the Holocaust and World War II Germany. He was a prisoner at Auschwitz and Dachau. And what he learned is sometimes things happen to us in our lives that completely derails our lives. And so obviously getting sent to a concentration camp does that. Mm-hmm. And what he learned is that it had really nothing to do with physical stamina. For those people, men and women, who weren't obviously sent to the gas chamber, but those people who were able to survive this horrific thing were those who were able to let go of what they expected out of life. You know, we get these, you know, we have these ideas that we deserve something and life is supposed to work out the way I planned, and then you do things like get cancer or, you know, other tragedies. I had a daughter who passed away at 8, and you know, just these horrible things. And you can sit in the ashes and pound your fist and say my life wasn't supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be different. And so rather than having expectations of life, the people who were able to survive the concentration camp were able to make the switch and say, what does life require of me? This is my situation. I can't change my situation right now, but I can control what happens inside my head. And I can get up this morning and do what I need to do to stay alive today, or do what I need to do today to move one step further towards getting back the life that I wanted. So Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl is just a wonderful mindset book. There's so many others. You can just go through my reading list and you'll see lots of them.
I'll put a link in the show notes page to your reading list. One thing I love, sometimes you post some great quotes on Twitter. There was one, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and it links into what you've just said about mindset. It might have been by Dave Ramsey, or some radio guy, and it was like, so you got tackled, every play isn't a touchdown.
Exactly.
Get back up and run another play. And I think you can use that for life in general, but also even if we narrow it down just to trying to get in shape, one week you're going to have a crappy week where nothing's going to go right, but that doesn't mean that you knock it on the head and don't do it again. It's just a case of get back up, make next week a bit better.
Exactly, and do next week a little bit differently. You know, so I know so many people who say, well, I'm going to start working out, and so they go to the gym or they lace up their shoes and they try to go for a 10-mile run, you know, and they've never run more than 100 yards in their lives, and they get so sore they can't move for a week and they just give up. So you go about it smart. You know, you are going to have setbacks. You're going to get injured. You're going to twist your ankle or pull a hamstring or something. But, you know, you decide that this is what I'm going to do with my life, and you figure out a way to overcome the setbacks and you keep moving on.
Bruce, we'll just wrap up now. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks so much this morning just for taking the time to talk through things. In terms of mindset, I think a lot of what you said there will be so useful for other dads out there who feel a bit stuck with whatever's going on in their lives. And some of the stuff you said there is absolute gold, really. So
thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it.
As I said, I'll put links to everything that we talked about in the show notes.
Well, I appreciate everything you're doing. And all of us dads out there need lots of encouragement. The ladies in our lives, they do a great job of encouraging each other. Guys, we kind of isolate from each other.
So
I really appreciate what you're doing to try to keep dads connected with other dads and keep us all motivated. So you're doing a great work, and I appreciate that.
That's great. That's very kind of you to say so. Okay. Well, keep doing what you do as well. I mean, I love your blog and I love everything you do on Twitter too. It sort of gives me a spring in my step every day just when I see it.
I'm glad to hear that.
There's always something that sort of hits home. So thanks again, and we'll connect again soon.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
I really loved talking to Bruce when we had the opportunity to chat last week. I must admit, I wasn't aware of his cancer before we spoke, hence why I didn't quite know what to say straight away, as I'm sure you've maybe found in your own life when someone tells you something so surprising and serious. But we did have a chat after the interview, and he's booked in for treatment. And Bruce, if you're listening, I'm sure we're all crossing our fingers that you get through it and get back to doing all the things that you enjoy in life. But thanks again for your time last week and talking to me. Okay, no listeners' questions this week, not because I didn't get any questions from listeners, but I did get the same questions that I've answered previously. So I'm assuming those listeners haven't been listening to every episode of the podcast. That's fine. I'm not going to judge you. So I'm going to skip listeners' questions this week, but please do contact me if you have a pressing question about anything diet or lifestyle or training related that you're not quite sure about and is maybe holding you back from making progress in your quest to get your ass in shape. So just quickly before we wrap up, let's look at the resources of the week. Now, in the show notes page for this episode, this is episode 10, so the show notes will be at buffdaddyo.com/10. There you'll find links to everything that I discussed with Bruce earlier in that interview. There'll be links to Bruce's blog, which is great, and also specifically to his reading list page that we spoke about briefly there at the end of the interview. If you're also a keen runner or someone who has ever thought, I would like to run or maybe even run a marathon, but have no idea where to even start, there's a link there to Bruce's book, which he sells there on Amazon. So I would recommend that you check that out. Again, buffdaddy.com/10 for all those links. And that's us done for another episode. I am very impressed with myself that I have managed to get through 10 episodes of the podcast and still find myself hopefully talking sense and giving you some useful advice and some useful information from the people that I'm interviewing on each episode. There'll be another great episode coming up in a few days. Actually, I've been interviewing so many great real dads who are managing to get in shape that I'm, over the next few weeks anyway, I'm going to start trying to put out 2 episodes per week, ideally on a Monday and a Friday. So the next interview is going to be another interview with a great dad. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or Stitcher if that's where you get your podcasts from. And like I drone on about every single week, make sure if you haven't got your free ebook from the buffdaddio.com site, there's a free ebook, The Bulky to Buff Daddio Guide, sitting there waiting for you. You just have to stick in your email address and it's there. It just helps you to organize your life, your training and your diet to start yourself slowly but surely getting in shape and turning things around without necessarily having to turn your crazy life upside down. So until the next time in a few days, look after yourself and I'll speak to you soon.